The scripture lesson this morning is from the unfamiliar but blessed King James Version of the Bible. It's Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, from his letter to the Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen.
And dear friends, Apostle wrote, comfort each other with these words. But throughout the most recent 100, 200 years of Christianity, and especially here in America, it has not been a word of comfort at all. This was what Marcus Borg calls heaven and hell religion foundation stone, this particular passage and passages like that. Religion of fear of damnation, religion of fire and brimstone, religion of supernatural reward and punishment. Supernatural mechanical religion was based on this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That is called in theology parousia, second coming of Jesus Christ. But those who made it into this fearful religion simply did not know anything or very little about the background in which Apostle Paul wrote it and how it ties with our today's celebration of Jesus' entry to Jerusalem. Because Apostle Paul modeled this particular biblical passage not on any supernatural visions, but on Hellenistic ritual, secular and political ritual, of an official visit by high political or military official to an Hellenistic city. And I will go with you one step at a time with this description, which is taken like a cookbook for the second coming of Jesus. Shouted announcements. Of course, when there was an official visitation of an imperial messenger or a general of a Roman army or something like that coming to the city, there'll be a shouting announcement coming from a watchtower. And not that one in Brooklyn. They had watchtowers watches who looked around and saw approach of that well-announced visit. Then there'll be an arrival of a special messenger. These official visits, of course, they knew that they cannot simply come in. If it was in a peaceful setting, they would first send their archangels. That's a technical term, special messenger. I'm only translating it from Greek. Special messenger would be sent in advance to come and prepare everything. Yes, that's that archangel. Nothing supernatural, just an answer of a main visitor. Then a bugle, a trumpet, or how King James Version translates trump in an old version, will sound a signal for the whole city. The visitor is here. Fling open the gates, prepare him. Otherwise, it would be misinterpreted as a cold shoulder or not reception at all. The event is called apenthesis, when they come together, will come together in a cloud, it is translated. Apenthesis was a paying visit or homage to that visitor, making sure that they understand that we are not in rebellion, we welcome you, we are happy to have you here, and we'll have a marvelous party with you. So there is nothing religiously scary in this, nothing dreadful, nothing horrific, nothing fearful. Only positive message is what Apostle Paul tries to convene to us. Modeled on traditional Hellenistic visitations, which there were many throughout his age. It will be like arrival of those imperial potentates, he tells them, but instead of those scary imperial potentates, Jesus will come and trump all those imperial potentates. He will come without their self-absorbed, buffoonish arrogance. It'll be different. Apostle Paul modeled it on visit of Hellenistic monarchs. Or, when you think about it, it might be scary, dreadful and horrific, but not for a general populace or for Christians, but for lovers of the status quo. Because who is being welcomed with all this pomp and circumstance but a crucified? That was a condemned criminal. Condemned criminal by Roman law. No one doubted that. We knew it was judicial murder, but still, it was according to the books. It would be scary. Just imagine how dreadful it would be these days when we suddenly have a president on a Pennsylvania Avenue parading, and it is no one else but to life coming back and tortured, innocent person from Abu Ghraib. Can you imagine? It would be scary. Just think about it. Oh, all those evangelicals, they will be up almost in arms because it would mean that we have a Muslim president. Can you imagine how it would be with those who allowed or even directly inflicted that torture? That would be scary. Can you imagine what kind of upheaval there would be in our legislature and in everything if that person was not imposed but would be welcomed and celebrated? It would mean complete overhaul of everything around us. So, yes, joyful welcome as well as pretty dreadful and scary situation. Maybe even for Christians, early Christians, these feelings would mix together. And now, think about how it ties nicely with Jesus' entry to Jerusalem. It is almost identical story narrated only in a little bit different context. Because it is again modeled upon the entry of a royalty to Jerusalem. In Apostle Paul, because he was a Hellenistic person, it was modeled on a Hellenistic pomp and circumstance. In the Gospel, with Jesus coming to Jerusalem, it is modeled not on Hellenistic, but on Semitic, Old Testament model of royalty entering Jerusalem. Count with me, like we did with that messenger and shouts and bugle or trumpet. Here we can go again, one step at a time. A donkey. That was a preferred mode of transportation for Semitic monarchs. Hebrew, Old Testament, royalty, and people of that kind traveled on donkeys. And they were not saddled. We know it even from extra-biblical sources that they were not with saddles. That is probably the reason behind that story that it hasn't been written. Okay. It was not a saddle on it. They would put their coats and they would saddle it for king or for queen. They would prepare that. And then the attendants will help king to sit on it. Exactly like it is described in the gospel. And then spreading their coats in front of them so that that monarch will be lifted up from the ground. That monarch will be not touching the ground like we mortals do. Will give that respect. And because they did not have red carpet, they would do it with their own coats. Actually, an improvised, maybe original way of showing respect and honor. It is an archaic red carpet. So here you see two entries, two welcomes, something we celebrate today. And I have here a different one model or similitude to what we heard from Apostle Paul, now modeled upon that arrival, mostly upon that arrival to Jerusalem by Jesus. Trying to modernize it a little bit again. So when Jesus Christ is to come to Rutgers Church, first pigeon post will come to Frank's house on top, announcing arrival, because these visits are not done unannounced. And because pigeons are carbon neutral. Special agent will arrive to scout the area and flush out all the arrogant, the egotist, self-centered profiteers. And they will take positions on the roof of Ansonia and all around, able to spray the area with miracle perfume of goodwill. Not with guns, but with sprays. Maybe those with balloons, again, without the propeller. They will spray it. Then, either on a scooter, Oh no, I should probably say Jesus would come on a regular bicycle being accompanied by his guard on scooters. You know, like on flanks when they travel. Or with great rumbling, he will come from Bronx on board of special number 2. Our Trinidadian guard, Dermont, will sound our electronic bell because we don't have regular, but it sounds almost like a regular bell. Meeting our departed then, those who are here in our columbarium will take place. You see, they are coming through that, and first those who are asleep will meet with that marvelous visitor who is coming. Like any time we go to church, we first meet with those who preceded us. Isn't it marvelous? Metaphor for our spiritual life, for our existence as Christians. We worship here as we are, but we worship here also with those who were worshiping here with us before. And then celebrating with us the end, and I am modernizing it again, the end of guns, poverty, and violence, under the banner, not mission accomplished, but peace with justice, mission introduced. Think about it. Wouldn't it be marvelous? Isn't it? And you can put your own ideas and your own understanding, and you definitely observed inauguration parades and state visits and meeting with an honor guards and all of this, and now try to do it in your mind the way that would honor what Jesus stood for instead of what we know from this world. It's marvelous. And I'll be thrilled to hear from you your own visions and your own understanding. And this is exactly what the biblical authors try to accomplish. Taking down bullet glasses and allowing us to be, like I heard recently, Pope Francis took down, you know, from Papa Mobile, that, and met with people directly, that roof and everything. And yes, it is scary. But why is it scary? Because, unfortunately, we as general are scary people. It's a challenge for us to be less scary people. And then, this vision of Jesus coming on a scooter or a special number 2 from Bronx will be reality. Meeting first with those who are asleep and having with us here a great celebration. Amen.